One of the keys to Senator John Kerry's campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination is his experience in the Vietnam War. He returned from the war to become a leading anti-war protester. Here is John Kerry commenting on his time in Vietnam during an interview last year with ABC News. The tape begins with some of Kerry's testimony back in 1971 when he told the Senate Foreign Relations Committee that the United States should end the war.
How do you ask a man to be the last man to die in Vietnam? How do you ask a man to
be the last man to die for a mistake? I think it's a question that lingers on to this day. It's the test before you send people to war. It's a sad question to ask.
A new book looks at Senator Kerry's time in Vietnam. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams spoke with author Douglas Brinkley.
John Kerry's rise to prominence in American life is based on the fact that the decorated Vietnam veteran came home to lead protest against the Vietnam War. But now, as some Democrats voice anger at the war in Iraq, it's not Kerry who has captured the power of current anti-war protest. That energy has gone to Howard Dean's campaign. To Kerry, the situation in Iraq is far different than what he faced in Vietnam. A new book, Tour of Duty, John Kerry and the Vietnam War, is based on personal journals Kerry kept during his time at war. Author Douglas Brinkley writes that Kerry was initially a supporter of the Vietnam War.
First, his father, Richard Kerry, was a career Foreign Service officer, and his father believed that public service was first and foremost something that you had to do. Secondly, John Kerry had a great admiration for John F. Kennedy. And in 1966 class of Yale, the anti-war movement hadn't hit, and it was a sense of duty that you would go, that Kennedy had told that generation, you know, to serve your country. So John Kerry and his really closest friend, Dick Pershing, both decided to join in the armed forces, with Pershing going in the Army and John Kerry in the Navy.
Kerry goes in the Navy, as you describe it, and he's assigned to a frigate, the USS Gridley, and then makes a brief stop in Vietnam, undergoes training to become the commander of something called a swift boat. Now, what is that?
Swift boats were 50-foot-long aluminum boats, and John Kerry became the lieutenant in charge of his own vessel. And remember, John F. Kennedy had his own PT-109, and I think for somebody like John Kerry, who was looking for action, looking for some of the glamour of war, thought, boy, that'd be my own boss on my own boat with my own crew doing coastal duty in Vietnam would be quite a thing. The problem was, when he got to Vietnam, the admiral in charge of the Navy, Admiral Zumwalt, had just initiated something called Operation Sea Lords, and it took these aluminum swift boats out of coastal patrol and suddenly turned them inwards into this vast Mekong Delta River system to ferret out Viet Cong sanctuaries along Cambodia.
Well, when we talk about the warfare along the Mekong Delta, Doug Brinkley, what comes to mind is a lot of the atrocities in Vietnam, the bombing of Cambodia. Did Kerry touch on this?
Kerry kept detailed diaries and journals, war notes. And so these detailed war notes, for a historian like myself, were mind-boggling, because he would write about the atrocities over there. The most moving passages in my book come from Kerry's diaries when they see a Vietnamese boat in a so-called curfew zone, and they don't know what to do, so they shoot, and they get to the boat, and they find out it was just a bunch of women with children and rice. And the guilt that many Vietnam veterans feel for killing civilians or being forced into this sort of situation constitutes a major part of John Kerry's Vietnam experience, and it sours him.
Doug, was there one moment or one incident that convinced John Kerry, the young man, that the war was wrong?
When he was on the Gridley in 1968 and he got a telegram that his best friend Dick Pershing had just been killed in Vietnam, he wrote these anguished letters home. Was it worth it? What are we doing in Vietnam? Why did Dick have to lose his life over there? It was the loss of personal friends. I, in the book, rattle off 8 people Kerry was close to that were killed over there. They were a band of brothers in Vietnam. He was tired of seeing his brothers killed. That's really, what I think, what spurred him, his activism, the loss of his buddies.
The young man who left Yale with all this idealism and sense of wanting to make service paramount, comes back and says this war is wrong. What happened?
I interviewed his first wife, Julia Thorne, in Montana, who told me when John came back virtually every night, he was breaking into sweats, nightmares, pacing, yet he was working in Brooklyn for an Admiral Schleck and traveled to Panama and Greenland and things, still in uniform. Yet he was haunted that he must do something to denounce the war, and he asked to get out of the Navy early. Admiral Schleck agreed to it, and John Kerry then became a pivotal person in the anti-war movement as the spokesperson, the public face for a group called Vietnam Veterans Against the War, VVAW. And it's Kerry who became the celebrity vet and started lending his voice and talents to the anti-war movement. And at that point, you know, Kerry became somebody that the right wing in America went after. The Nixon administration wanted to get John Kerry. The rap on Kerry became he was using this issue for political expediency, that he was eyeing a political future.
Doug, why is John Kerry's presidential campaign not doing so well?
Well, he had a front-runner status, and I think his vote on Iraq to give President Bush the authority to move forward, it gave the left of the party to Howard Dean. But I think if it would not for that vote, he would have been able to have said, I'm the one who stood up to Nixon and denounced the Vietnam War. I stood up to Ronald Reagan and pulled the cover off of the Iran-Contra scandal, which he did as a senator. And I'm the one who stood up to George Bush and his Iraqi policy. He would have been, I think, the nominee, clearly. If he does not get the Democratic nomination, he's going to continue to be in the U.S. Senate. And I think you will see him, if he does not get the Democratic nomination, you'll see him as a more outspoken senator than ever, because this ambition of the White House will be out of the way, in a sense. And there's also a chance, Juan, that, you know, if a Democrat ever made it to the White House in the next 8 to 12 years, there may be a role as Kerry as a Secretary of State or Ambassador to the United Nations or something he might do, because, of course, foreign affairs is his forte.
Douglas Brinkley is the author of Tour of Duty, John Kerry and the Vietnam War. Thank you so much, Mr. Brinkley.
Thank you.
Juan Williams, NPR News, Washington.